The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. We want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
Good to have you guys here today. Man, I'm excited because today we're going to be talking about one of my favorite things. So it's going to be good. God is always doing the unexpected, and God is always moving. He's always working. I remember years ago, probably 10 or 15 years ago, there was a book that came out, might even be longer than that, called Experiencing God by Henry Blackburn, I think it was. Anyway, really good book. And the book basically talked about how God is always moving, He's always working, He's always doing something, and it's our job to find out what God's doing and to go to where God's working. And it's a pretty interesting concept when you think about the fact that a lot of times we probably miss out on what God's doing. We don't really see where He's working and what He's doing in the lives of people around us. And every once in a while we do, it's like we catch a glimpse of it, and then it's like we're surprised, we're shocked. You know, we sometimes even call it a miracle because we're just like, it's so great that God brought these things together and did this thing the way He does. And I think that if we're really paying attention, that we would see that happen more and more often. And it would become less miraculous and more like, you know, commonplace in our lives to see God doing stuff and God moving. And so today, my message is first responders. And when I think of first responders, I think of those people that are kind of putting themselves in harm's way because they're risking their lives to rescue someone else. But it's not just those people. It's not just people that are kind of on the front lines when there's a disaster or a catastrophe that takes place. It's also people that show up on the scene when they're most needed. When there's an emergency, those people are the ones that are the first to respond or the quickest to respond. And it reminds me of the way God wants us to be when it comes to knowing where to be and what to be saying, what to be doing at a specific time. I believe God wants us to be first responders. He wants us to be people that are quick to respond to His call and show up when we're needed. And so we're going to be talking about that today, about what it means to be a first responder. And so we're looking at one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And we're going to see what this first responder does and how he reacts to God's call in his life. Does that sound good? All right, so let's jump into this. We're going to be in Acts, the book of Acts, and we'll be in chapter 8 of Acts. And as messengers of the gospel, we must be sensitive to God's leading and react quickly when he directs us to an opportunity to share the good news. That's our responsibility, to hear what God is telling us and to be able to jump quickly and respond to where God is leading. And as we're going to be following after Jesus and looking for opportunities, I think the key is not hesitating when we feel that God is calling us into a situation, not holding back, not allowing fear or whatever it might be that prevents us from stepping in and doing what God's called us to do. I think we can think of a lot of excuses, a lot of reasons why we shouldn't do what we know we're supposed to do, but the reality is that when it comes right down to it, if we don't respond to what God wants us to do quickly, we miss out on the opportunity, the window of opportunity that God's provided for us. And that would have been the case in this story we're going to look at, but the man that we're going to be talking about, Philip, he's quick to respond to what God is asking him to do. So let's look at Acts chapter 8. We'll start reading in verse 26, and we'll read down through this whole story. So it starts out like this. The Lord said to Philip, "Go south along the desert road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza." So Philip went. An important Ethiopian official happened to be going along that road in his chariot. He was the chief treasurer for Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. The official had gone to Jerusalem to worship and was now on his way home. He was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit told Philip to catch up with the chariot. I'm going to pause right there for a moment because I don't know exactly what this looked like, and I don't know exactly how fast this chariot was moving. But, I mean, if you can imagine, I mean, if God asks you to go to a certain place and you see somebody, you know, driving in their car, maybe they're at the stop sign or stoplight, and God's just like, follow that car, right? I mean, I can imagine Philip, if Philip would have hesitated, I mean, he would have missed this opportunity to catch up with his chariot. I mean, I'm just thinking Philip's maybe not as fast as the horse that's pulling this chariot, and so he probably had this split-second opportunity to chase this chariot down. And it says in verse 30, Philip ran up close and heard the man reading aloud from the book of Isaiah. Philip asked him, do you understand what you are reading? The official answered, how can I understand unless someone helps me? He then invited Philip to come up and sit beside him. The man was reading the passage that said, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? So he's reading from Isaiah 53, if you're familiar with the passage. The official said to Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or about someone else? So Philip began at this place in the scriptures and explained the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to a place where there was some water. The official said, look, here's some water. Why can't I be baptized? In other words, he's like, hey, there's a place right there with water. What's the reason? What's stopping me from being baptized right now? You can, Philip answered, if you believe with all your heart. And the official replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He ordered the chariot to stop. Then they both went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. After they'd come up out of the water, the Lord's Spirit took Philip away. The official never saw him again, but he was very happy as he went on his way. Philip later appeared in Azotus, and he went from town to town all the way to Caesarea, telling people about Jesus. So I read this story, and I'm caught by a few things that happen. First off, God tells Philip, I want you to go to this particular place. He doesn't tell him why he wants him to go there. He doesn't explain to him. He doesn't, like, you know, sit him down and say, okay, Philip, here's the game plan, right? I want you to show up at this place. You're going to see a chariot. You're going to see this dude reading the Bible. I want you to run up to the chariot. You know, he doesn't break it down for him. What does God tell him? God just says, Philip, I want you to go. I want you to go to this place. So the first thing that I want us to draw out of this passage is that we need to listen and obey. Listen and obey. Look what it says, verse 26 and 27. The Lord said to Philip, go south along the desert road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza. And here's the most important part. It says, so Philip went. He did exactly what God told him to do. Not knowing exactly what he was going to find, not knowing what was ahead on that road, not knowing what God had planned, but he knew there was something. He knew there was something he needed to respond to, and so he listened to God, and he obeyed. Now, let me just ask you a question, and I'm asking myself the same question, because there have been moments in my life where I have definitely heard God's voice, not necessarily an audible voice, but I have definitely heard God's direction in my life, and I said no, or I waited. I just kind of paused for a little bit. And maybe I was looking for, like, more confirmation that this is what God wanted me to do. Maybe I was just, you know, a little bit hesitant because I was like, you know, if I really step out and do this, am I going to look foolish? And there's a lot of things that run through your mind, I believe, when God presses into your heart and says, I need you to respond to this. But regardless of the fears that you're feeling or the, whatever sort of obstacles you might see or dream up, you have to respond. We need to listen and obey. See, here's the thing. As we live in a way that honors God, he reveals his unique plan for you and directs you in specific situations. We need to be ready to respond. I love this quote from Martin Lloyd-Jones, who is a pastor, actually a pastor in London during the 1800s. He says this. He says, "There is no question but that God's people can look for and expect leadings, guidance, and indications of what they are meant to do. It seems clear to me that if we deny such a possibility, we are guilty of quenching the Spirit." Now, we've talked before about quenching the Spirit. We talked before about how when we don't listen to what Jesus is telling us and we don't listen to what God is trying to communicate to us, it's almost like the voice of God becomes softer and softer in our lives because we become insensitive to what God is trying to tell us. And the truth is that God is constantly leading his people. God is constantly giving direction to his people. But his people aren't always listening. And a lot of times when we hear what God is saying, we're not obeying. I can think of one specific instance in my life where God was telling me to do something. And believe it or not, I waited about 3 years before I did what he told me to do. 3 years. Can you imagine that? I mean, God telling me, "Jeremiah, I want you to do this," and waiting for 3 years, hoping that the situation would be just right, that things would come together, and it would be, you know, it'd be like the moment, right? It's like I was waiting for this sign from God or an additional sign from God or something. And I don't know what would have happened if I had quickly responded to what God had called me to do. But I do know this. I know that those 3 years of waiting, I was pretty uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable in my heart. I was uncomfortable in my spirit with the direction that God wanted me to go because I knew I wasn't being obedient to what he called me to do. Here's the thing that we need to realize. See, because God is a spirit, God communicates to our spirits. And if our spirits are not paying attention to what God's spirit is saying, we're going to miss God's plan. We're going to miss the opportunities that God has for us. Look what it says in Galatians 5:25. It says, "Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives." I think that this is something that is kind of like a, I'm not going to say a lost art, but I'm going to say it's certainly something that's not showing up in the Christian world today. I think that we as followers of Jesus are content to always take the easy road. As you know, people who would call ourselves Christians, it's like we're happy to try to live a good life and maybe not risk anything. Maybe always stay in the safe zones in our lives, never stepping outside of the place that's comfortable for us. And God's asking us to listen and obey. And so I want to say to you guys that there is this element of being careful in planning out your actions, okay? There is this a lot to be said for making plans. But I don't believe that we can always make plans when it comes to listening and obeying God. I believe that following God's lead takes not just prayerful planning, but also listening responsibly to God's Spirit for extraordinary guidance. And what do I mean by extraordinary guidance? I don't mean like extraordinary by amazing. I mean extraordinary as in extraordinary, something that is outside of what we typically would do. Because I believe that God is constantly nudging us and directing us and opening doors for us, but a lot of times we're missing what God is trying to do in our lives. We're missing out on it. Look what it says, Ephesians 2, verses 9 and 10. I'm reading this from the Message. It's a verse we've talked about before, but it says, "We neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he's gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing." We talked about this good work that God's preparing for us. If you remember right at the beginning of our series, we talked about how God's prepared us. He's carefully handcrafted us for a particular good work that the Bible describes. And that good work that God is preparing us for is sharing his love, his life-saving message with the people around us. And so if that's the thing that God is constantly preparing us for, It's the thing that we need to be constantly aware of and looking for opportunities to respond to. So we need to listen and we need to obey. Now, I'm not saying to you that that everything that happens in your life is a sign from God, okay? I don't want to, like, make you... We were tossing around the word superstitious this morning, right? We were talking about athletes and being superstitious, and Jerry mentioned a quote from The Office where he says, I'm not superstitious, I'm just slightly stitious, right? So I don't want you guys to get the idea that there's all these things that are going on, and there's, like, all these signs, okay? And it's like, you know, if something doesn't happen just right, like if you open your Bible and it just, you know, falls open to this page and you see this verse, and I mean, maybe God communicates to you that way, but I don't want us to be a people that are always looking for signs and wonders, like, you know, God is going to communicate to us in some mysterious way. Because the truth is that God communicates to us as we are faithful to follow after him. As we're being faithful to God in the little things that he wants us to do, God clearly communicates to us the next step that he wants us to take. So if we're listening to God's leading, God is going to lead us. If we're already heading in God's direction, the direction that we know God wants us to go, because God's already given us some guidelines and direction he wants us to go, right? God's already told us there's certain disciplines that he wants to be a part of our lives, and so we have some direction from God already. And every single one of us kind of has the same direction from God, right? The direction of spending time in God's word, spending time with God in prayer, sharing God's love with the people around us. I mean, there are things that we know God is already calling us to do. And so if we are being responsive to those things, God is going to call us to do extraordinary things. God is going to call us to do things that are outside of the ordinary. And when he does, we have to listen and obey. But I want you to notice something else about this story. Not only should we listen and obey, but we need to trust God's timing. I mean, this story is all about timing, isn't it? We need to trust God's timing. Look at verse 27 and 29. It says, the official had gone to Jerusalem to worship and was now on his way home. He was sitting in his chariot reading the book of the prophet Isaiah. Now, there are a lot of things that happen in life that we chalk up to coincidence. Something will happen, like things kind of seem to come together, and our first thought is, oh, that's a coincidence, right? Well, I believe if we're truly following after God and we're truly responsive to his opportunities, there's really no such thing as coincidence. There's just God's guidance, God's direction, God's providence. And in this situation, that's exactly what's going on. It just so happened that God tells Philip, go down at this exact time to this area. And the moment Philip responds, here comes this guy. He just happened to be coming by on in his chariot. And not only was he on this road traveling, but he had the Bible open. He had the scriptures open, and he was reading from the book of Isaiah. So this moment was perfectly timed, perfectly primed for the situation that's about to unfold. So a few months back, I think it was back in February, I remember hearing this story on the news. I want to play the news clip for you so you kind of get a picture of perfect timing, what that means.
The Marin County Sheriff's Search and Rescue Team just happened to be in the right place at the right time over the weekend when a 10-year-old girl got in some serious trouble. She was snowshoeing with her family when she fell right into a snow hole. It happened north of Donner Pass, and KTVU's John Sasaki is at the sheriff's headquarters in San Rafael. What a stroke of luck for that family, John, that team from Marin just happened to be up there training.
Yeah, Frank, they were training near Boreal right off I-80. They had just climbed Castle Peak. They were heading back to camp when they ran across someone in dire need of help. Not much of the team held a news conference here at headquarters this afternoon to talk about this rescue. And they say once they were in need, they identified themselves very quickly and then determined that while the family from Folsom had been snowshoeing, a 10-year-old girl named Samantha had fallen through the snow into a chasm below. Her family tried to pull her to safety, but they realized they couldn't because the hole was too small and there was a danger of the snow collapsing in on the girl. The team had to rig a special rope system to get the girl out, and they showed us a drawing of the way they did it, using one rope with a carabiner attached over the hole and other ropes going through that carabiner from other angles, therefore that wouldn't fall into the snow and put pressure on that snow, causing it to collapse in, perhaps. The Marine search and rescue team appeared at just the right time because hypothermia was starting to set in for 10-year-old Sammy, as she goes by. Despite not having all their gear, the team and Samantha's father and the rest of her family were both grateful for that perfect timing.
We had to be very improvisational, and we used all three 50-foot ropes. Samantha was down this hole. She was crying, scared.
I told him that we were a mountain rescue team and that we could help. And then he was confused at that time, because who would have expected, you know, 14 members from a rescue team to show up when your daughter falls into a, what I consider a crevasse. And I will tell you that when we pulled her out, and she fell on Robert and Scott, I'm glad I had goggles on, because I had tears. It was very emotional.
And you could tell just watching him there that he was getting a little emotional just talking about what he went through yesterday, what all these folks went through. Now, aside from being wet and cold, Samantha was okay. They got some dry clothes on her and then hiked her around a little bit to make sure that she warmed up and got back to normal. I did talk to her mother just minutes ago, and she told me that Samantha is perfect, not injured at all. Amazing when you consider that she really fell about 10 feet through the snow down into a creek below, was in that icy water for quite a while before being rescued. But they are extremely thankful that this Marin County search and rescue team was there at the right place at the right time.
So I remember reading this story. I hadn't seen the video yet, but I remember reading the story and thinking to myself, I mean, my first thought was, this wasn't a coincidence. This wasn't a coincidence that this team that was up training, this rescue team, I mean, that's what they were designed for, right? It wasn't a coincidence that they were there at that time. Matter of fact, I was reading the article. It said this, when the team identified themselves as a mountain rescue team, the father seemed confused at the miracle of a 14-member rescue team showing up the instant his little girl fell into this cold hole. Now, can you imagine that? I mean, it's like the moment the emergency happened. I mean, talk about first responders, right? I mean, these guys are like right there on the scene. But I don't believe situations like that are coincidence. I believe those are all part of God's perfect timing. And I share that with you to illustrate this idea that God always knows his timing is perfect. We need to be able to trust God's timing. This whole part of us being able to kind of put our faith out there and share our faith and respond to God's leading, I think it all hinges on whether or not we truly trust God's timing. On whether we truly believe that God has a plan and that God is working out the details so that they come together at just the right moment. And that's what's happening in our story. See, it is no mistake when God places you in the path of someone who is ready to hear the good news. Don't miss your window of opportunity. It is not a mistake, my friends. When God puts you in that situation, in that moment, it's because his timing is perfect. And this whole series is about us responding to those opportunities to share faith, our faith, and to share God's life-saving message. And the truth is that is going to happen more and more often when we are sensitive to God's leading. Proverbs 3, verse 6 says, "Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." Remember, we talked about being faithful to God in the little things, being faithful to God in the things that we already know God is calling us to do. That's how we receive this specific direction from God, because we've already shown ourselves faithful in those moments where we're supposed to be following after him. But then I noticed this too. In addition to hearing God's voice and responding to it, listening and obeying, in addition to trusting God's timing, we also have to be alert to those divine appointments. We have to be alert for those moments that God has prearranged for us. So look how Philip reacts to this prearranged moment in verses 29 to 31. The Spirit told Philip, "Catch up with the chariot." Philip ran up close, and he heard the man reading aloud from the book of Isaiah. And Philip asked him, do you understand what you are reading? It was like Philip didn't even hesitate, right? The moment he runs up to the chariot, he hears that the guy's reading aloud from the scriptures. And right away, Philip's like, this is it. This is this God-ordained moment. This is this divine appointment. It's time for me to react. And what does he do? He says, do you understand? Does that make sense to you, what you're reading? And the official answers, how can I understand this unless someone explains it to me? And then he invited Philip to come up and sit beside him. I mean, this is like the perfect opportunity. Have you ever had one of those moments where it was like things were going so perfectly, you're almost like, this can't even really be happening, right? It's just too perfect. I'm pretty sure Philip at that moment was just like, wow, this could not be any easier. It's like, I responded to where God wanted me to go. I saw exactly what God wanted me to see. And all of a sudden, this guy's invited me to get up in his rig with him and explain to him the gospel. And that's exactly what Philip does. See, as you allow God to direct you, be sensitive to situations and conversations with others that he prearranges for you to be used by him. You know, a few weeks ago, we talked about how in conversations with people, God naturally comes up. Have you noticed that happening since we talked about that? There, I can't even tell you the number of times where I've had a conversation with somebody that had nothing to do with God, and eventually the conversation worked its way over to God. Why does that happen? It happens because God is providing you with a divine appointment. He's providing you with an opportunity to share your faith, to talk about the things that God wants you to talk about. You don't even have to force it to happen in a conversation. Jerry's talked a little bit about this in a couple of his messages about us trying to like force God into a place, you know, where we're trying to like shove it down someone's throat, or we're trying to, you know, do it in a very unnatural way. Well, the truth is God is going to provide those moments for us. We simply have to be ready for them. We have to be alert and recognize those moments. Philippians 2, 12 through 13 says this. It says, so you must continue to live in a way that gives meaning to your salvation. Do this with fear and respect for God. Yes, it is God who is working in you. He helps you want to do what pleases him, and he gives you the power to do it. Guys, don't be fooled into thinking that somehow you are the one that is going to orchestrate the circumstances to share the gospel. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you're the one that's going to create that moment. Because if it's going to happen, God's going to be the one that does it. Because God has set a time and a moment for every single person that's going to hear about the saving truth of Jesus. God has prearranged those moments. The moment that you heard about Jesus, the moment that you first responded to God's message of love, God had that moment planned. He had it planned out. And maybe you can think, even right now, you can think about the circumstances that led up to that moment in your life and ask yourself, was that an accident? Was that a coincidence that I just happened to hear about this? God is constantly creating these moments where his word is being shared, and we have to be ready. We have to be alert to these moments. We have to pay attention to the specific circumstances that God has placed you in and look for God-orchestrated moments to speak and to act. I love what James says in James 2:14. He says, dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? You know, the whole book of James is this call to action. Is this call to put wheels on our faith, to really be the hands and feet of Jesus when it comes to sharing our faith with others. So we have to listen and obey. We have to trust in God's timing. We have to be alert so we don't miss those divine appointments. And then we have to be prepared to share God's story. We've got to be prepared to share God's story. Notice what Philip does in verses 34 and 35. It's the official said to Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or about someone else? So Philip began at this place in the scriptures and explained the good news about Jesus. So he took the scriptures from that moment where this official was reading, from that very page even, and he began to explain the story of Jesus from the what the guy was reading. Now, I mean, it wasn't by accident that he happened to be reading Isaiah 53. That was this chapter that's describing the suffering that Jesus is going to go through, right? That was a perfect opportunity, but Philip was familiar enough with the scriptures, and he was familiar enough with the story that he was able to share it. Now, the question I pose to you is, if God provides the perfect opportunity, if someone invites you to come and sit beside them and they say, explain to me your faith, are you going to be able to do that? Are you going to be prepared for that moment? Part of what we want to do in this series is prepare you for that place and that moment in time where someone asks the question and you're ready with an answer. Now, like Jerry said, I think it was last week, if you don't know the answer, we don't want you making one up, right? If you can't answer someone's question, say, I don't know, or say, let me get back to you. Let me look at God's word and study a little bit, and I'll get back to you. It's much better to say, I don't know, but I'll find out, than to make up some reason or guess as to what the answer might be. But the reality is, the more time you spend in God's word, the more time you spend preparing, the better able you're going to be to answer those questions. And so we want you to be prepared for the moment. We want you to have the basics down, to be able to basically tell somebody, here's what Jesus did for you, and here's how you need to respond, and here's what happens when you respond to Jesus. We want you to be able to do that, to be able to simply lay out what it means to become a follower of Jesus. And that is so easy, and one of the easiest ways for you to do that, as we've kind of brought this up over and over and during the series, one of the easiest ways for you to do that is simply explain what God's done in your heart. Simply explain the journey that God's taken you on and what happened in your own life. But you've got to be prepared to share God's story. When God provides the opportunity, you must be familiar enough with God's life-changing message to share it. You've got to be familiar enough with God's message to be able to clearly explain what it means to become a follower of Jesus. What is it that keeps us from being familiar with God's story? What is it that keeps us from understanding and being able to clearly explain the gospel to someone? I think sometimes we know it. Sometimes we know how to say it, but maybe there's this fear that we're going to say the wrong words. Or maybe there's this fear that we're going to not say enough about something. I remember one of the first times that someone had asked me to go and take part in this children's booth where we were going to be sharing the gospel to kids. And I remember how nervous I was the very first time I sat down and had to explain the gospel to somebody. And I think when I first did it the first time, I think I just kind of like stumbled over my words. And at that moment, I was shocked that the person that I was talking to actually responded to what I was saying and said, yes, yeah, I want to begin a relationship with Jesus. I mean, I think I probably had to ask them a couple times, are you sure you want to do, you know, like, the way I explained it, are you sure that's what you want to do, right? We doubt ourselves. We doubt the ability that we have to be able to explain ourselves clearly when we need to fully be dependent upon God. And it's not us. It's not our ability to do it, but it's God's ability to communicate through us. And so sometimes we're just unsure of ourselves. And maybe maybe we're afraid that someone's going to reject the message. Maybe we don't share God's love because we're afraid that someone's going to hear what we have to say and they're just going to come right out and say, I don't believe that. And so maybe sometimes we're even a little bit ashamed of sharing the gospel. But look what the Bible says about that. Romans 1:16. Paul says this. He says, for I am not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of this message because I know how powerful it is. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because I know what it can do in a person's life. And if you keep that end in mind, if you keep at the forefront of your mind that if this person responds to the gospel, they're going to become a child of God and be forever part of his family. If you keep that perspective, There's nothing that's going to stop you from sharing the greatest message in the world with the people that need to hear it. So I encourage you guys, I encourage you to be ready for that moment when it's time for us to share God's story. 2 Corinthians 5:14, Paul puts it this way too. He says, Christ's love has moved me to such extremes. His love has the first and last word in everything we do. In other words, he's like, because God's love for me is so great, I cannot keep it to myself. I have to share the good news with the people around me. And then I love the way this story ends. It's almost like you hear Philip responding to God, you see this moment, taking advantage of this opportunity to share the gospel, and then the last part of this passage is just like the big bonus, right? It's like, who would have thought that this would happen next? And I think for us, in the moments where we share the gospel, we're going to be surprised at what God does. That's why the last thing I want you to take with you is that we need to stand back and watch what God does. Stand back and watch God use you. Look what happens in verses 36 through 40. It says, as they were going along the road, they came to a place where there was some water. The official said, look, here's some water. Why can't I be baptized? Philip says, you can if you believe with all your heart. And the official replied, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And after they came up out of the water, the Lord's Spirit took Philip away. That had to be kind of a freaky thing, right? It's like Philip dunks this guy. We did a baptism last Sunday, right? And wouldn't it have been kind of weird if we had done that? And you know, wherever you got baptized, you come up out of the water and the guy that's baptizing you was gone, right? I'm glad that didn't happen because I had a lot of fun after the baptism too. But God was like, Philip, I got another job for you, right? I've got something else for you to do. And it says, Philip later appeared in Azotus and he went from town to town all the way to Caesarea telling people about Jesus. So this guy was on the move, man. He had a lot of opportunities for God to speak through him, and he wasn't waiting around. But here's the thing we need to get, is that this story ends with Philip not only receiving Jesus, not only understanding the gospel and beginning this relationship with Jesus, but Philip right away, or the official right away, wants to respond. He wants to do something in response. He's like, there's some water. He's like, why don't I just get baptized right now? I mean, he didn't want to even wait. Have you known someone like that? Someone who begins a relationship with Jesus and they just want to go full throttle for Jesus? Don't discourage that. Don't discourage that when someone wants to live 100% for Jesus when they find out about him, because that's the proper response to the gospel. And then we get to benefit from that. We get to see God change someone's life. We get to see the power of the gospel at work in someone's life. I think that's the most beautiful part about sharing our faith, is not only that it bolsters our faith and makes us more confident in sharing God's love, but also we get to see what God does. We get to see the way God changes the lives of the people that he asks us to share his love with. Have you experienced that? Have you experienced those rewarding moments where you look at the life of the person who you had the opportunity to share the gospel with and you see the way God has changed their life? I mean, that is worth it all to be able to sit back and watch how God used what you did. See, God develops faithfulness in you as you see his project through to completion and he prepares you for the next one. You may be just like Philip. You may share the gospel with somebody, and then God may whisk you away to take on the next job that he has for you. God may provide for you the next opportunity. It could be several opportunities right in a row, but we need to be ready to respond to those. And then we need to stand back and watch God use us. Luke 16, verse 10 says, if you're faithful in the little things, you'll be faithful in the large ones. If you're faithful to God in the small things he's called you to, you're going to be faithful to God in the big things. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 11. I love this verse. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. In other words, make sure you see it through. Make sure you follow through. Paul says this to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:8. He says, I've run hard right to the finish, believed all the way. All that's left now is the shouting. God's applause. You know what it's like when you respond to God's call on your life? You do what God's asked you to do, and then you get to see God move and get to see God work. And know that there's a celebration going on because of your response to God, because of your obedience to Him. That's the beautiful part of sharing God's love with people around us, is seeing what God does in their lives, seeing the way God not only changes their heart, but begins to change the world around them. Here's the thing, guys. God will give you opportunities to share your faith. The more you respond in obedience to Him, the more amazed you'll be at what He can do through you. God is going to give you opportunities to share your faith with Him, with others. And as you respond to those opportunities, you're going to be amazed at what God does. This is something that I don't want any one of us to miss out on. No matter where you're at in your journey with Jesus, no matter how familiar you are with Him, no matter how long you've known Him, it's God's plan for you to share His love with the world around you. And I don't want any one of you to miss out on that. I don't want any of you to miss out on this beautiful moment of not only getting to share God's love with somebody, but getting to see how He changes their heart and what He does in their lives. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? So we get ready just to close our time together. Let me just ask you a simple question. Would you know if God was speaking to you, if God was saying, come, do this, or if God was saying, go, meet that person? Would you know that God was speaking to you? I think this is something we need to ask ourselves, because the reality is, if we're not close to God, if we are not spending time with God, if we're not nurturing our relationship with God, it's going to be hard for us to tell when God is asking us to do something. And then the next question we need to ask ourselves is this: am I willing to do it? Am I willing to respond? Really, that's all God's asking for. He's asking that you would be attentive to Him, that you'd be paying attention, and that you would be willing to do what He's calling you to do. Those two actions on your part could mean the difference between life and death for someone else. That person that God is preparing for you to meet with, that divine appointment that God is making, the only thing preventing that person from hearing the life-changing message of Jesus is you. It all hinges on your willingness to go and your willingness to do what God's called you to do. Are you going to be ready when those moments arise? It might be a little bit scary, but think of this. Think of the beautiful change that happens in people's hearts and in their lives. Think of the brokenness that's restored. Think of the healing that comes in. Think of the peace that settles on a person's situation when they surrender their heart to Jesus. Isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth us at moments being a little bit scared, a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit unsure, if it means that that person is going to hear a beautiful message of Jesus? Guys, that's our job. This is the task that God's given every single one of us. Let's not hesitate. Let's not be afraid. Let's trust in God. Let's trust Him that He's going to give us the right words. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you would say today, just simply by raising your hand, you would say, I'm ready to respond when I hear God's voice. I'm not sure what that means, and I'm not saying that I'm not going to be afraid, I'm not saying that I'm not going to have some doubts in those moments, but I'm willing. If that's you, would you just lift up your hand? I want to pray for you. Awesome. Anybody else? Just lift your hand up. I'm not sure what it means and what it's going to ask of me, but I'm ready. Anybody else? God, it looks like some of your people are ready. Many of your people are ready. God, would you this week provide these divine appointments? In your perfect timing this week, Father, would you put people in our path? Would you direct conversations with our coworkers, with our friends? Direct those conversations to you. And God, would you give us the boldness to say what you want us to say? Father, I pray for your people in this room right now, that you would lead us into those moments, that we would trust you, we would trust your timing, and we would share your message, the most beautiful message in the world. And then, God, I pray that we would just be able to sit back and watch what you do. We love you, God. Do this in us this week. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand as we sing this last song together.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You thought of us before.